Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. You can turn all these lights up. Y'all don't mind if we take this off? How many of y'all in a good mood this morning? Hallelujah. I think we announced forgiveness. People ran from that message. Amen. You mean I'm going to have to forgive to somebody? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesse, if you could get these up as bright as this. Is that as bright as they'll go for us, brother? Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, lest we forget. I want to read you something. Is that okay? This is a letter that I got in the email, okay? A letter written to a man on death row by the father of the man the son on death row had killed. Okay? You are probably surprised that I, of all people, am writing a letter to you, but I ask you to read it in its entirety and consider its request seriously. As the father of the man whom you took part in murdering, I have something very important to say to you. I forgive you with all of my heart. I forgive you. I realize it may be hard for you to believe, but I really do. At your trial, when you confessed to your part in the events that cost my son his life and asked for my forgiveness, I immediately granted you that forgiving love from my heart. I can only hope you believe me and will accept my forgiveness. But this is not all I have to say to you. I want to make you an offer. I want you to become my adopted child. You see, my son who died was my only child, and now I want to share my life with you and leave my riches to you. This may not make sense to you or anyone else, but I believe you are worth the offer. I have arranged matters so that if you will receive my offer of forgiveness, not only will you be pardoned for your crime, but you also will be set free from your imprisonment, and your sentence of death will be dismissed. At that point, you will become my adopted child and heir to all my riches. I realize this is a risky offer for me to make to you. You might be tempted to reject my offer completely, but I make it to you without reservation. I also realize it may seem foolish to make such an offer to one who cost my son his life, but I now have a great love and an unchangeable forgiveness in my heart for you. Finally, you may be concerned that once you accept my offer, you may do something to cause you to be denied your rights as an heir to my wealth. Nothing could be further from the truth. If I can forgive you for your part in my son's death, I can forgive you for everything. I know you will never be perfect, but you do not have to be perfect to receive my offer. Besides, I believe that once you have accepted my offer and begin to experience the riches that will come to you from me, that offer, that you primarily, though not always, response will be gratitude and love. Some would call me foolish for my offer to you, but I wish for you to call me your father, the father of Jesus to all of us. Isn't that neat? Everybody say the word forgiveness. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, verse 34. I want everybody to realize every day you experience the blessing and the fruit of forgiveness. You know, we always say, we talk about forgiveness, it says, you mean I have to give someone forgiveness? I have to change something in me and forgive somebody else? But I want you to realize this morning, when you woke up, you already partook in the fruit of forgiveness. You've been blessed by forgiveness already. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, "Forgive, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then they parted his raiments and cast lots. How many of you believe that Jesus was a forgiving person? He had the attitude, you know, he was about to be torn up. I mean, he was about to be crucified and, amen, killed, beaten, and scourged. But he looked to heaven and said, "Father, forgive these people because they don't know what they are doing." Everybody say the word forgiveness. And God, because of who he is, granted Jesus his request.
Go to Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. How many want to be just like Jesus and you want to be like God? To be like Jesus. We all sing those songs. But one of the characteristics, one of the strongest characteristics about Jesus and about God that he has is his forgiving, amen, nature. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquities of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Notice here is a portion where some people had messed up some stuff. And someone had to go to God and say, Lord, forgive them for their constant transgressions. How many of you got transgressions? How many of you got it all together? Every day we miss it, whether you realize it or not. We're not going to walk completely right. We're going to make wrong decisions in our life. We're going to make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But we have a God that understands our mistakes and our attitudes. Amen? And he graces us with forgiveness until we can get ourselves together. Everybody say pardon. Go to Psalm chapter 32, verse 1. See, we always think of what we don't have. You know, of the blessing we wish we could get. But how many, you've all experienced forgiveness for all of your sins. And whether you realize it or not, you know, we were the one, it was our sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. We try to say the Romans did it. No, the Jews did it. Everybody else did it. They all tore Jesus up, and it was their fault that all the stuff came down that Jesus had to die. And if I were alive, it wouldn't have been men. But I want you to realize it, that it was our sin that crucified Christ. It was our guilty. It was our guilty and sin and sinful nature that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Right here it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How many of you are glad about that? See, we get over, you know, we have problems dealing with other people when people do stuff to us. The smallest little thing that they do on a one-time basis. You know, some person might do one deed, and man, we could get worked up over that thing for 6 to 8 weeks or 4 hours or 5 hours to get mad, rattle the pots and pans, and do all kind of stuff. Can't we do that sometime? When we forget to realize that I'm blessed just because I experienced forgiveness from God. I like your scripture. It says, blessed is he whose transgression. Everybody say the word transgression. We all, you know, God is always leading us to be who he wants to be, who he wants us to be. Every day God's leading us to be more like Jesus, to pray, to walk in the Spirit. Amen. He wants us to be more like him every day. But everybody say, we miss it. You know, we have to experience forgiveness this morning. You know, today is the Lord's day. And God has done so much for so many people. He didn't come down off the cross short. But we can't even honor him with one day from the week. But I tell you what, God, say God, loves us and his forgiveness still stands. His grace still stands. We do things all, see, we all make mistakes. You ever made anybody mad at you unintentionally? I mean, you just didn't even know. You were just going about your way, and then all of a sudden, some of the actions, you know, as you were going your way, your actions might have offended somebody else. And your actions probably were wrong, but they were not intended to be wrong. Well, on a daily basis, God has a lifestyle for the believer that we're to walk in. And when we walk our own way, we can be hard-headed, not listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, stuck in the world, doing all of our stuff, right? And we grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the heart of the Father. That's not God's best for us. God has a higher plane for us. But you know what God does when he sees us mess up repeatedly? When he sees us make the same mistakes. Didn't I tell you to pray? Didn't I tell you to be in the Spirit? Amen. Didn't I tell you to be sweet? Didn't I tell you to be kind? And yet we refuse to do those things. Everybody say the word rebellion. We all have a little bit of rebellion in us. And that's what the Holy Ghost is trying to get out of us. It says blessed is the man whose transgression or whose rebellion, amen, is forgiven. That is not an excuse for us to stay in rebellion, to stay hard-headed, and to keep messing up. But we thank God that even though we are kind of stiff-necked, kind of hard sometimes, kind of rebellious, We repeat the same things over and over again, and we just don't have it together. How many got it all together? If you got it all together, you're not going to get excited about this scripture. But if you like me and you understand that you're not all that God wants you to be, amen. I like the song that used to say, listen, I may not be what I should be. Amen. Not all that I could be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. You can thank God for that. You know, you're not all that you should be, but praise God, you're not what you used to be. But while you're trying to get yourself together, you know, you're working out this rebellion, God's love and His grace still forgives you of all of your petty stuff. Say, this morning, I woke up in great forgiveness. You know, He's a holy God. You ever read that scripture in the Bible? It says, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. Right? And then you talk about heaven. When you go to heaven, God's seated on the throne. The angels are circling about the throne of God, singing, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. Amen. Which was, which is, and is soon to come. They circle around that throne, and there's great reverence. You know that? Then we hear about the temple, when they had built the temple, the tabernacle of God, that the priests had to put bells around them, you know, because they could only go into the presence of God, you know, without sin. And they had, I mean, it was a rough thing to stand before God because He was God. Everybody say, He's God. And God demands holiness. He just demands some type of respect because of who he is, right? If it weren't for forgiveness, amen, we'd all be greasy spots for just calling His name. So say, blessed is the man whose transgressions is forgiven. Transgression means rebellion or trespass or sin. Turn to Psalm 87, 86, verse 5. Say, I will master. Everybody say, I will master as you're turning there. Everybody say it, I'm not going to forgive you. No. Say, I will master forgiveness. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. How many want to be just like God? You know, Jesus comes in our life, He takes all that crud out, and He puts good things in us. Somebody say, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So when God comes in us and we realize and acknowledge God, the more that we find out about God, the more we want to be like God, right? I tell you what, God is always ready. Somebody say, He's ready to forgive. And we Christians make all these kind of excuses. We'll forgive, but we always want to make them wait 15 minutes. We want to make people wait 6 weeks. We want to make sure they know, I'm upset. You did something to me. Somebody say, but Jesus, somebody say, I thank God that He didn't want to just let us dabble in our stuff for a long time, but He is already ready to forgive us. We didn't have to convince Him to forgive us. Before we even sinned, His forgiveness was already provided for us. Say, I will always be prepared and be ready to forgive. I tell you what, as long as you're on the earth, people are going to do stuff. You are not, I mean, it's impossible to think that you're going to live life without somebody doing something to you or without somebody stepping on your toes. Some people do things not deliberately. Some people do things deliberately. But as long as you're in the earth, as long as you're around, I tell you what, stuff is going to happen. And you're going to have some cases where stuff gets attached to you, you're going to get dirty. You're going to have to learn how to forgive people. Somebody say, amen. Say, praise the Lord. So you got to be ready before something happens to you that you've already got to make up in your mind. Listen, hey, I know I'm going to get in relation to you and I'm going to say some things. Sometimes it's going to work you over. It's going to mess you up. But before we even get started, I'm already ready to forgive you. Because I'm not naive and I'm not stupid enough to think that we're not going to cross each other or something's not going to happen down the road anywhere. So before we even start, we've got to be ready. Somebody say, I'm ready to forgive. In church, we got to have the mentality. When see, we're building a ministry here. We're trying to build a leadership team. And I tell you what, about 60% of the people that leave churches leave because they haven't learned how to forgive. If you want to stand and you want to stand and you want to achieve what God wants you to achieve, you got to, before stuff happens, don't learn it while you're in the midst of it. So that's what gets people try to learn forgiveness when they're mad. You know, it's much better to work on stuff before it actually happens. Look at somebody and say, something good's coming, but I guarantee you an offense is out there waiting for you. I just want you to be ready and look out for it. You got to be ready to forgive. Brush up on your forgiveness skills before you need it. Say, hold on, I'm in a place where I could get caught up into some stuff, but I've already studied forgiveness, and now I can just program this thing and walk it through. Somebody say, amen. Hallelujah. This is good this morning. For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto them that call on thee. How many of you want abundance? How many of you want abundance? How many of you are full of God? How can you be full of God and not be full of mercy? There are a lot of people that are full of a lot of stuff when they should be full of God. You know, you press their button the wrong way, and I tell you what, it's on the inside of that individual, it's going to come out of their mouth. Are you full of mercy? Mercy means this, that people, amen, they deserve you to knock their head off. You know, people do deserve it. I know many people in my life that deserve me to punch their lights out because of their actions according to the world. Amen. But we can't walk like that. Amen. Mercy, somebody say mercy, keeps us from giving people what they deserve. Somebody say what? What are you talking about, Pastor Rod? Oh, come on, be for real. If you really believed that people didn't deserve stuff, you wouldn't get in half the mess you get in. You know, some people think, you know, some people say, well, you don't want to think like that, then why do you walk like that? There are so many people that walk without mercy. Because truly deep within our heart, we know that certain people probably deserve some stuff. She did it to me, I'm going to do it to her. You ever heard the Bible scripture, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? There is a law, you reap what you sow. Well, deep within us, natural law tells us that that's the natural response. If somebody punches you, you're going to turn around and ready to swing. Unless you're full of mercy. See, a lot of people don't understand. They think just mercy is not giving someone what they justly deserve. You're not going to be able to walk in forgiveness unless you have mercy. What are you going to cover people's offenses with? What are you going to cover their offenses with? Mercy. Make sure you have enough mercy within your heart, amen, to cover wounds. Have enough mercy in your heart, amen, to cover words that may be spoken unto you or spoken to you in the wrong way. What covers? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. What does that mean? Mercy will cover sin. Do you have enough mercy to cover sin so you can walk in forgiveness? How can I get over that big mess? I can cover it with mercy and then walk over to the other side. You remember, you know, we don't see these shows anymore, but they used to, a guy and a lady be walking back in the medieval times, and he'd have a cape or a cloak on or whatever it was, and they'd come to a mud puddle, and she'd have to get over to the other side, so he'd rip off his cape, and he'd put it over in the mud so she could walk over to the other side and not get dirty. How many ever seen that on TV? Well, that's how we're going to have to walk. There's some dirty stuff out there at times, you know, that we're going to have to take off our cloak. Amen. That mercy and that grace that God has so that we can walk through life in a good way. So I say, you need to forgive. You got to learn how to forgive. See, it's easier said than done. So say, I don't have it. I just don't have it in me to forgive. Hold on, I just don't have it in me to forgive. You mean to tell me you don't have mercy? When God supplied you with mercy? Forgiveness is a decision. Amen? after studying this stuff and getting into these forgiveness scriptures, you know, and you know, this is not one of the things that I usually get into teaching or talking about, but I was in, and I found the importance of forgiveness, and I found some things out. You know what? Forgiveness, without some forgiveness in our life, we can't be saved. It's impossible to be saved without forgiveness. Do you know you can be forgiven of anything except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, and you'll find out why later. I got a little twist on that. Amen. But you know what else you cannot be forgiven of? Unforgiveness. You can be forgiven with God for anything but unforgiveness. And when you're not willing to forgive other people, that means all the stuff that you've forgiven of, you know, that you've been forgiven of, it comes back on you. Because forgiveness, listen, if you reap forgiveness, you must sow forgiveness. And you refuse to sow forgiveness, you're not going to be able to reap forgiveness. Someone said, I can be forgiven of anything and everything but unforgiveness. For thou, O Lord, give ear. Isn't this nice? For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. God is not like us sometime. Notice that this psalmist said, give ear. He told God, listen, God is so unlike we Christian people are sometimes. This psalmist said, Lord, he must have, when he was talking about forgiveness, he must have needed it. He must have needed it. And you know one thing I found about David, the psalmist David? He talked about, oh, Lord, forgive me. You ever notice he was always saying he was sorry for something, always asking for forgiveness? And you notice he always got it. He always asked God for forgiveness, and God always granted him forgiveness. I was thinking, wow, that's kind of neat. And praying in the Spirit, and I thought about David's life. And I thought about all the things that Saul had done to David. And how every time Saul did something to David, what did David do? He forgave him and would go right back and would love him. And he would not put his hands on God's anointed. So he wouldn't touch God's anointed, wouldn't speak negative about the king. Amen. He wouldn't say all those things. He was flowing in forgiveness. So David's life, you know, David being able to forgive Saul time and time again, he had stored up a revenue, amen, you know, he had stored up a reserve of forgiveness because he walked in forgiveness, so he was able to reap forgiveness. Someone say, give ear. When we are unwilling to forgive, we refuse to listen. One symptom of unforgiveness is that you're not willing to listen. Notice that the psalmist said, look, Lord, thou art good, forgiving, and all this other stuff. Give ear. How many of you ever noticed that when people get mad at each other, they stop talking to each other? Good morning, dear. Everybody say, give ear. How you doing, sister? So good to see you this morning. Some say, I can't hear you. I'm not listening. Some say the fruits of unforgiveness. We close our ears to people. We shut them out of our life. We don't want to hear them. We don't want to see them. You don't exist anymore. But God is good, and he forgives, and he gives ear. Some say, praise the Lord. But God will always be willing to listen even when we don't deserve it. This is really good in Psalm 103, verse 3. It says, who forgives? The God who forgives all, somebody say all, of our iniquities. Everybody say the word iniquities. Whether you realize it or not, you've got some faults. And I've got some faults. We don't have it all together. We do some things that might tick people off and might tick God off, that offend the Holy Ghost. Right? But we have a God that forgives. Somebody say, he forgives every single one of our iniquities. And this word iniquities right here You know, God tells us to do something and we twist it a little bit. How many of you have ever twisted what God told you to do? What do you mean, how did he twist you to do it? You know, God gives specific commands and specific orders and we just do half of it. Amen. We just, yeah, we think we're special or we have a license to change things. How many of you ever twisted stuff? Well, that's perversity. We pervert what God wants us to be. I believe that today's church, this so-called church, not the whole of it, amen, has perverted Christianity, has perverted the spirit. We've twisted what it's all about. We have a form of godliness that denies the power. But God forgives us. Somebody say amen. Our perversities, amen. And he also forgives our faults. This word's iniquities is our faults. How many of you got a fault? And I'm glad that God excuses and forgives all of your faults and mischief. Everybody say mischief. Y'all know my term for mischief, don't you? The mischiefs. What do you mean a mischief? Somebody say the chiefs of missing it. Amen. There's some people that are chiefs in missing it. You know, they're the Indian chief. If you want to get, I mean, they get into one big pile together and one said, I'm going to be the leader and cause us all to miss it. Amen. Some say mischief. How many of you ever led people into missing things? You know, we get a big war going. Amen. We get it all stirred up and we're to the head and the forefront of it. Amen. Somebody, I'm the chief and we're all going to miss it together. Mischief. Jeremiah 31 verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, but every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember, somebody say, remember, their sin no more. Somebody say, forgive. And forget it. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? You know, forgive it, then to let it go. I'll forgive you. That means I'm just not going to display my resentment toward you. That's what most people think forgiveness is. I'm just not going to act on what I really feel on the inside of my heart. I will disguise. Amen. I will disguise my dislike or my distrust of you. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness forgets. How many are glad that God just doesn't have all your stuff stored up, you know, stored up and he just remembers it, and every now and then you mess up, he pulls it back out? Some say God forgets. You know, they was telling this one woman went to a priest and was doing confessions, and she got mad of confession, and he said, can't you remember anything you done wrong? And, you know, and the woman said, can you remember anything you've done wrong? I'm sure back in seminary you did some things wrong. I'm sure you can remember. And I'm sure God remembers too. He says, well, when you go home tonight, I want you to pray and ask God if he can bring, to tell you some of the things that I did wrong in seminary. How many of you know we all do some stuff wrong? And she went to God praying for God to reveal to her what this man did wrong in seminary. So she comes back the following week, and he said, did you pray and ask God what I did wrong? And the woman said, yes. And he said, well, what did God tell you? And God told her, I can't remember. Even though he knows everything. Say, God remembers not one thing we've done. He's ready to forgive and forget it. How many of you love to walk with people like that? You just ran over the dog, you know? And right after you run over the dog, you know, say, man, what happened? Somebody say, he forgets it. Do you know what we've done to his son? What our sin did to his son? When we're saved, he forgets it. He doesn't look at us and measure us up and say, you mean you're what my son died for? You know, he doesn't even remember that. That's that. The pressure of all that is not going to be on us when we get to heaven, because he remembers our sin no more. I'm going to say, thank God, as if we've never sinned in any way. A question I want to ask you again as we do this. What does God not remember? Any sin that he's forgiven us of. What things are we not forgiven of? Unforgiveness. Daniel chapter 9, verse 9. I thought we could get to this a lot quicker, but I believe that God's really ministering to us before we even get into the act of forgiveness. We're just learning this morning about God's forgiving nature. That, you know, we think, well, you thought this morning we'd be talking about all the people you had to forgive. You know, all the people that did stuff to you, that whether you're going to release those people from what they did to you or not, you found out that God is forgiving you. That you've already experienced forgiveness on your part. Daniel chapter 9, verse 9. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him. Somebody say, cover me, Jesus. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to walk this stuff out, but cover me in your mercy. There was a person here. This is a story I like in Genesis chapter 50, verse 14. Are y'all enjoying this morning? You don't have to lie. You can tell me the truth. I'll start screaming and hollering and doing a Holy Ghost meeting if you want, if you think you'd enjoy that better. Genesis chapter 50, verse 14. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, y'all know all the things they did to Joseph, right? Those brothers wore Joseph out, didn't they? Joseph will peradventure hate us, and he will certainly acquit us of all the evil which we did unto him. They said, now dad's dead, he's going to remember all that stuff we did. He's going to pull it out. He's going to pull out all the stuff we've done to him. We've been hanging out, but I knew he was going to get me. Dad's dead now. Now we're going to suffer for what we've done unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren for their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept and spake unto them. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. When you forgive people, they don't have to fear you. They don't have to walk on pins and needles around you if you really forgiveness. See, Joseph had a cause. I mean, his brother sold him into slavery. Anybody sold you lately? Anybody packed you up, kidnapped you, and sold you to somebody and said, you're going to go to work. Amen? We're going to get rid of you. Anybody experienced that yet? No? People may have took the last cup of coffee. Maybe. People may have done small things, but this boy's brothers came out and tried to kill him. They tried to kill him, but he had to walk in forgiveness, didn't he? After they tried to kill him. But he told them, after you've done all that to me, I got power to work you over. See, some of us is like, it's payback time. Somebody say, it's payback. I can't wait till I get up there. Now that I got my stuff together, I'm going to show you. I'm going to wear you out. But you know what? When we forgive people, those that have harmed us and hurt us, when we're strengthened, they never have to fear us. Why? Because we don't remember stuff that people did to us. Somebody say amen? When you walk in this light, listen, Joseph said, listen, what you meant for evil, God meant it for my good. So you can't do anything to me when God is on my side. How many have had people do evil things to you and it ended up being your blessing? They meant to do you in, but God hooked you up. Amen? People try to tear you up and set you up. Anybody have people try to set you up? I've had people try to set me up before. Set me up big time to make a big splash, a big spill, try to destroy me. But I tell you what, their setup actually ended up God's hookup for me. what other people mean for evil, when you walk in forgiveness and you walk in grace, God will turn that around and mean it for your good. Notice that the Bible says all things work together for the good of those, amen, who walk according to his purposes. When we walk in forgiveness and we walk in grace, all the evil that people do to us and do to us, God will turn it around and turn it into our good. So he transforms evil for good when we walk in forgiveness. Say, no weapon will be able to be formed against you. How many of you are glad about that today? To bring it to pass this day to save much people. Somebody say, amen. Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you remember that movie we saw, Corrie Ten Boom? Anybody remember the Corrie Ten Boom movie, The Hiding Place that we saw here? You should have watched that movie. That's a powerful movie about forgiveness. Awesome movie about forgiveness. And this is a true statement about Corrie Ten Boom. Do you want to hear it? Okay. Corrie Ten Boom told of not being able to forget a wrong that had been done to her. Do y'all remember the wrong that was done to Corrie? Corrie lost her whole family in the Holocaust. Every single last, she had a large family, and every single last one of them died. She was put in a concentration camp for taking care of Jewish people or hiding Jewish people, and she took care of retarded kids and different things, and she was put in a concentration camp as a believer and as a born-again Christian. Saw her sister die in this concentration camp after her body had been weakened because one of the guards beat her sister. Then her sister got weakened, her sister died, and her sister was a strong one. And Corrie had to deal with a lot of this unforgiveness in her life. So here she is dealing with this. Corrie Ten Boom, of being not able to forget a wrong that had been done to her, she had forgiven the person, but she kept rehashing the incident and so could not sleep. You ever forgiven something, but the incident, just the pain of that thing just keeps coming back? So Corrie said, I'm forgiving that woman, but you know, I've forgiven those people, but the pain of it just keeps coming back and I can't sleep at night. It's wearing me out. Finally, Corrie cried out to the Lord, her God, to help her in putting the problem to rest. His help came in the form of a kindly Lutheran pastor, Corrie wrote, to whom I confessed my failure after two sleepless nights. Up in the church tower, he said, nodding out the window, is a bell which is rung by pulling on a rope. But you know what? So we say, here we go. They wrote this wrong. That's what they said. It is a bell which is rung by pulling on a rope. But you know what? After the sexton lets go of the rope, the bell keeps swinging. First ding, then dong, slower and slower until there is a final dong and it stops. I believe the same thing is true of forgiveness. When we forgive, we take our hands off the rope. But if we keep tugging at our grievances for a long time, we mustn't be surprised if the old angry thoughts keep coming for a while. They'll just ding and dung. Just the ding of the old bell will keep slowing down. But so it is to be true. There we are for a few times. You know, when we're dealing with offenses, we're pulling on a rope, and that bell just keeps swinging from side to side to side. You might just let go of that offense, but that bell is going to swing a little bit longer. But don't worry about when stuff just keeps coming back. Time will cause that bell, amen, to stop ringing in your life, and that offense will go away. So it takes time. Somebody say, it will take time, and it'll stop ringing if you let go of the rope. But if you keep pulling on those strings, amen, it'll just take longer for the pain and the sound of those wounds to come back on you. Somebody say, I won't pull on the heartstrings or the rope of my offenses, because it just makes the bell keep ringing longer and longer and longer. Stop rehashing things. Learn to forget things. Like we said, listen, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. How many want forgiveness from the heavenly Father? Notice that forgiveness was conditional. to their forgiveness? He said, if you forgive them, then I'll forgive you. Why is it that you think you can be forgiven of every one of your sins and you can't forgive anybody else? But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. When you talk about forgive, write down these words. Forgive means to forsake. Talk about forsake the offense or forsake the issue. Somebody say walk away. Sometimes when you forgive issues, you got to learn to walk away from the issue. That means when that person's bringing it up again, you've got to learn just to shut up and walk away from it. Somebody say, I've forgiven. Therefore, I'm going to forsake trying to justify myself in that issue. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going to forsake the whole thing. I've forgotten about it. They're going to try to bring it back to you, but you forget about it and forsake it. Do you understand what I'm talking about when I'm saying forsake it? You don't have to put your extra 2 cents in there after. Somebody say, it's over. I've forgiven the issue. Amen. You know, that means that when you bring it up 5 years later at the Thanksgiving table, at the Christmas table, you have forsaken the issue. It's not going to be able to ring the bell anymore in you. If you haven't forsaken things, you haven't forgiven them. Say, I forsake my offenses. Instead of taking those offenses back again and those issues back again in your heart, you got to learn how to let them go and forsake them. The devil will try to give you offenses back. Do you know that? People will do things that remind you of it. He'll try to throw those offenses back on you. You remember this? Some say remember. He'll try to put it back on. There, here comes Tommy. Here comes him. You know? The devil will try to give you stuff back. You notice that? He'll try to give you. Anybody have the devil try to put stuff back on you? You see people, all of a sudden you get fire hot mad and you don't know why? The devil's trying to put stuff back on you, but you got to say, nope. Somebody say, I have forgiven that person, therefore I'm going to forsake the thought that you're trying to give me concerning that person. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If you're going to walk in forgiveness, you got to learn how to forsake some stuff. It's one thing just to ignore stuff. We might not say things out of our head, but in our heart, boy, there's a war on the inside. We're laying them out. You know, I'm not going to say anything to them. I'm going to give them a couple. I'm going to smile and give them a big hug, but on the inside, I'm tearing them up a good one. Amen. See, but you know what? God sees the heart, and he knows forgiveness is your issue. That's between you and God. So you got to learn how to forgive. When that stuff comes, you got to learn how to forsake it. How many got some issues you're going to start forsaking? Isn't this good teaching? All throughout the week, stuff going to come to you. The devil's going to come to you trying to get over on you. You know, say, oh, no, devil, I found out Sunday morning that I can forsake that issue. I forsake that issue. I have forgiven, and I'm walking in grace. I'm going to teach you this whole thing. Y'all just going to have to forgive me. Is that all right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. When others are trying to trespass on your Yasha. Remember we said Friday night, Yasha. Everybody say the word Yasha. Yasha like Yeshua, which means salvation, right? Which means what? Yasha meaning what? Somebody say space. When our space is offended, that's a trespass. Usually when you're having an issue with someone and you're dealing with unforgiveness, it's because they trespassed or stepped over on some of your space. Some of that Yasha that God has given you, right? When people cross the line, anybody have people cross the line and they offended you? Somebody said, God's given me this space. He set me free, and I was having a good day. I woke up in joy this morning. I got my worship tapes on. Amen. How many have been there? You know, it's just a wonderful day. And all of a sudden, you had your world going. Then somebody came in and stepped the line and got over into your salvation. I was driving a car with one woman one time, and she was praying in the Holy Ghost, just enjoying Jesus. You know, and she was praying in the Holy Ghost and rejoicing in God. The worship tape was going. She's going, hallelujah, shalala, lalala. And all of a sudden, somebody cut her off. And right in the middle of her tongues and her words, she said, you stupid jerk, you came into my intercession. That stupid jerk crossed the cross and got into her joy. It crossed the line. Do you know God set some things up for you, and every once in a while, somebody will try to step over in your salvation? That's why you get mad. You got mad because you had something good going and somebody crossed the line and get over and messed up your good stuff. Listen, those that are secure in their ownership of salvation are able to forgive. And that might seem kind of weird to some of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those that are secure in the ownership of their salvation are able to forgive. When people cross the line, we become aggressive because we think that they're going to affect our salvation. What we know God has given us, the world can't take away. Therefore, we are able to forgive. Some say offenses or over fences. We all put fences around our life. When you think of offenses, think of over fences. It's when somebody crossed the fence, like you were talking about those people that cross, or Eagle Mountain people, the Copeland people crossed the fence line when you were a little boy. Amen. When people climb over the fence and we get territorial. Can I tell you a story about cats? Kathy and Dean had to take their dog in Thanksgiving to the vet. And I picked up a book. And in the book had a story about cats in it. And it said redirected aggression. You know, it means that cats get aggressive. They didn't know why cats attack people. You ever just walked up to a cat and the cat tore you up? And it's usually a sweet cat. And you reach down to pet the cat and all of a sudden it zaps out on you? Well, the reason it said the cat did it said that the cat saw something earlier. It could have been all day long. It could have been an hour ago. It might have saw another cat in the yard and felt threatened because something else was on its territory and it couldn't get over it. So it was all wigged out because it saw something else in its territory. Well, that's how we Christian people get sometimes. Somebody crosses our territory, and once somebody crosses our territory like a cat, we're walking around strung out. And the first thing somebody does is we zap out and scratch them. When you're secure that nobody can take your place, nobody can affect your salvation, amen, God's got you where you are, nobody's going to mess you up, that little thing's not going to harm you, guess what? You're not going to be like a cat with redirected aggression. Someone say, hurry up, Pastor. If y'all shout, speak in tongues, roll on the floor, amen, throw a snake or two, y'all will feel better about this message, amen. When we forgive, when forgiveness happened, people can walk again. Can I give you this teaching? Can I give you even just a little bit long, we can get over and get over to something good tonight? But for some of us, we need to have this. This is the importance. How many want healing to start to happen in the church? How many want healings to start to happen in the church? There are certain people that are bound in their life and they can't go on in life. Why? Because of unforgiveness. And one of the things that as I was studying this, the Holy Spirit was showing me that if you can teach this body how to walk in supernatural forgiveness, healings will start to happen. If you can teach this body, if they can walk in forgiveness, healings will start to happen. And people that are stuck in ruts, guess what will happen to them? They'll get up out of the rut and start to walk. How many people that stopped because they did something wrong and they've offended people and they can't go on? So they don't want to be what they should be. I don't want to be a mama anymore because I failed you. Listen, when we start to flow in this God kind of forgiveness and we start to work forgiveness over in our life, people will start to walk again. Amen? How many want to see people get up and walk again? And people will start to receive healing. Mark 2, chapter 7. Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be given thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the man sick of palsy, I say unto thee, rise, and take up thy bed and go unto thy house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth from before all of them, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never saw it on this fashion. Guess what happened? Forgiveness allowed this man to get up and go on with his life. So many of us, we want people. See, what cracked me about so-called healing people, somebody say, you can tell they're phony. People that want to move in the ministry of healing move in unbelievable forgiveness. Notice that Jesus healed this man simply by letting him go of his offenses. That man couldn't walk because he was crippled in offense. He was dealing with some issues in his life. There are a lot of people. You say, I want you to get healed. I want you to get over some stuff. I tell you what, stop trying to lay your hands on him and grease him up and speak in tongues and cast out 172 devils. Walk in forgiveness around him and watch what happens. Notice that after Jesus told this man, listen, it was the same thing. He could have said, listen, be healed of thy infirmities. Get up and walk. Arise and walk. Be healed in the name of Jesus. He didn't say that to that guy, did he? That guy needed healing, but Jesus said, listen, arise, thy sins are forgiven you. If we would be more concerned about walking in forgiveness as we are about seeing supernatural miracles, we'll see supernatural miracles. How many got some people that you've been praying for them to get delivered and to get set free? They won't stop drinking. They won't quit these negative habits. They won't do what they're supposed to. I don't understand this. What's wrong? I prayed. I tried to cast out devils, and the devils won't go. What is the problem? Maybe you need to say to that person, arise. Your sins are forgiven you. So say, try a little forgiveness. Forgiveness brings healing. Oh, I sense that by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I sense that by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Some of you got some people that are trapped in some stuff. And as you release them with the grace of forgiveness, boy, they're going to get up and go on with their life the way they need to go on with their life. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, there was a famous psychiatrist, okay? And he once said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven them, 75% of them would walk out the next day. Isn't that amazing? So there are a bunch of crazy, how many know some crazy people? I mean, just somebody say, you're just crazy. And you want to bring them back to their senses. This is a message for us, because I know a couple. Amen? He said if he could convince those crazy people that their sins were forgiven them, 75% of them were able to go home the next day. Let me say, I'm going to turn into a psychiatrist just by telling people, I forgive you. Don't even worry about it. Your sins are forgotten. How many want a healing ministry? How many want a deliverance ministry? How would you like to have a 75% success rate? I believe there are some people right now that are hurt and wounded in addictions and drugs, addicted to crack, to destructive lifestyles, and they can't find escape because something happened in their life that they feel bad about. And all they need to hear somebody say is, listen, you be forgiven in Jesus' name. I forgive you. Don't even remember it anymore. I tell you what, those shackles will break off of them. Mark chapter 3, verse 28. If I can just get two of you, it's worth this long service today. If I can just get two of you to walk in forgiveness, some things will happen around this place. Verily I say unto you, all sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, but blasphemy. For whosoever shall blaspheme, but he that, forget that verse. Amen. We don't need to go there. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall judge, and ye shall not judge. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that you meet without, shall it be measured back to you. The measure of your forgiveness is the measure of forgiveness you'll get back. How many of you ever heard that scripture? Ooh, give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Somebody say, what you give, what you reap is what you sow. The measure you give will be measured back to you. Somebody say, it goes with forgiveness as well. The more forgiveness you sow out, the more forgiveness you're going to get back. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, it says this. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. Jesus came to do nothing but to forgive us and to teach us how to forgive. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. When you see people that can't get over stuff, they don't realize how much they got over on God. People crack me up. You know, when you see people, I just can't forgive them. You don't realize what you've been forgiven of. They don't know anything about salvation. And he said unto others, sins be forgiven them. Amen. Forgiveness brings healing. Write that down. I'm getting there. It's just the point I want to give you. I'm giving you two in one. But you got to realize this forgiveness. Some of you got relatives like your mom and different ones that are seeking healing right now. There are certain people that go to healing meetings and healing lines and different things, and they can't get healed, and they don't understand that healing's not coming. They can't find. And the number one cause for most healings not taking place in someone's life is unforgiveness. But forgiveness brings healing. Okay? Is your offense greater than your desire to be a healer? This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit asked me when I was dealing with forgiveness in my life. Praise God. Because there are certain people, you know, we want to carry offenses. But I'd rather be a healer. How many of you want to be a healer? How many of you want to be a vessel of healing, because that's what God wants you to be? You want to be a supernatural Kathy? I'm glad you're here. Amen. You want to be a supernatural healer? Kathy wants to walk out in the grace of healing. She wants to move in the gifts of healing. And we all want to flow in healing. Don't we want to be just like Jesus and heal people? Well, you got to ask yourself the question, this question. Is your desire to be a healer greater than your offense? There are a lot of offenses that we experience in our life, and we got to pay the price for what we want to minister. I mean, you know your ministry is going to cost you something? Maybe your ministry is going to cost you your right to be offended or your offenses. Listen, forgiveness brings healing. Is your offense greater than your desire to be a healer? Is your willingness to be hurt and feel hurt greater than your desire to be a healer? Where are you going, Pastor Rod? Where are you going? Why could Jesus heal so many people? Because he was God and he was a healer. But he also was an instrument of what? Forgiveness. He came to tell the world, listen, God forgives you for everything you've done to us. So he could flow in great healing. Because whatever somebody did to him, he walked in forgiveness. Somebody slapped you on one side, off from the other side. He forgave people. And just as great as his ability to heal other people was his ministry to bring forgiveness to people. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want you to see the resemblance. Know that Jesus healed that woman just because we read that scripture. That person was healed. And Jesus said, arise, thy sins are forgiven thee. He understood that his healing affected his forgiveness affected healing. Many people could be healed in this city. Many people could be healed in our body. And healing could take place. And the Bible said, that's the reason why so many of you are sick. Notice that it said this. When you take communion unworthily. Well, say, not that they were taking communion unworthily. But because... How do you take communion unworthily is you have unforgiveness going on in your life and you got issues going on. Unforgiveness, you got issues. You can't take forgiveness when you got these unforgiveness issues. So unforgiveness and sickness go together. Forgiveness and healing go together. There are a lot of people that can't get people healed because they walk in unforgiveness. Luke chapter 17 verse 4. And if he transgress against thee 7 times in a day, and 70 times in a day, turn again and saying, repent, thou shalt forgive him. Somebody say, you gotta wanna be like Jesus more than you gotta desire forgiveness, period. See, forgiveness doesn't have to do with, you know, I gotta be right all the time. You just gotta forgive people just because you want to be who God wants you to be. So he said, I know you tick me off and you deserve me to kick your butt right now. But I desire more to be who God wants me to be. Amen. I desire to be a healer more than I do right in this issue. Do you understand the price of healing? That's how you're ready to forgive. How do you get ready to forgive? You understand that forgiveness is necessary for you to be who God wants you to be. Say, Lord, that was a big one. That cost me. I had to cover that up. That cost me something. How many of you have a desire to be more like Jesus? And your desire to be more like Jesus and your desire to have that ministry and to be the person that God wants you to be covers all kind of crud. I'm getting there. We only got two pages. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Go there. It says, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Say, forgiveness. Real forgiveness is a Christian thing. And we just hear people talk about forgiveness. Oh, just forgive them, and they never teach us how. They don't teach us how to just say, oh, just forgive them. And really what they say when they forgive somebody, they say, don't display your anger at them. That's not forgiveness. You have to forget it, cover it with mercy and grace that you can only get from God, and release them. And you have to continually walk in forsaking the issue. Here's your scripture right here. Everybody write that down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did they tell them to forgive one another in the book of Ephesians? Because Jesus said, these signs that shall, you know, will follow the believer. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, if they weren't going to walk in forgiveness, they're not going to be able to lay hands on anybody and have them recover. Unforgiveness in any area or in any degree hinders healing. That's how the devil gets into churches. We think he just gets in there and stir stuff up. No, he has double motives. He'll start stuff out there to keep somebody sick. If I can keep everybody tangled up in issues and everybody mad at each other, I'll fix it to where nobody will get healed in the Woodlands. I'll have such a spirit of unforgiveness in that church, amen, I guarantee you nobody's going to get healed. Nobody will set free. Tell somebody to shout out right now, the devil is a liar. We value healing, so we pay the price by living a life of forgiveness. And it will cost you something. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. James chapter 5, verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed any sins, what will happen? They will be forgiven him. Notice that right here they're talking about healing, that they send the elders out of the church, and along with that healing, what came along with healing? What issue were they dealing with in the area of healing? Huh? Forgiveness. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. So when you confess your faults, what are they trying to work out? They're trying to work through issues, trying to come to a point of forgiveness and grace. And what happens after we confess faults and work through our issues and get into the spirit of forgiveness? We'll be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that righteous man is the man of forgiveness. Didn't say a man that nothing happens to. Stuff is always going to happen to you. Don't you know that? The devil doesn't want you to heal anywhere, anybody. That's why stuff's going to happen in your life. He didn't want you to accomplish your goals. He didn't want you to be effective in life. So he's going to throw stuff at you to get you offended, to get you mad, and so that you will not be able to be the healer that God wants you to be. But you got to say, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I desire more to be a miracle worker, a wonder worker, a vessel of healing. Amen. Than to be angry and to be upset, even though I might have a right, amen, to be this way. I'm going to have to pull mercy. Mercy covers things when you know you're right. You've been mad because you know you were right. You've been mad, you just knew you were right, and they did it anyhow, and you just can't work it through. That's why you got to use mercy. It covers things. You know, you'd let it go, but you can't deny the truth. There are certain issues you can't let go because you just know it's the truth. And some people think if they let it go, you'll be denying the truth. You know, you'll be letting that person believe in a lie. I can't let it go. No. If you got an issue where you know you're right, amen, and it won't go on because you feel you'll be denying the truth, that's when you let mercy cover it. We're getting there. Exactly. It's more of what's right, who's right, is what she's saying. And if you're going to walk in forgiveness, it doesn't matter. Some say it doesn't matter. What matters is the value, is how much do you value forgiveness. You forgive because you value forgiveness. That's why you forgive. That song we played this morning, even if she don't love me anymore, or whatever you're dealing with don't love you anymore, you're going to forgive just because you want to walk in forgiveness. Say, I forgive you because of who I am. God forgave us because of who he was and who he is, not what he could get out of us. He forgave us because that's the kind of God that he was. First John chapter 1, verse 9, we're getting it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I think we've got just about enough. There's a lot more stuff here, but I'm going to leave it here. Somebody say, praise God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. How do you know to the point that you've been forgiven, that you've forgiven someone? You forgive them to the point to where you can love them again. Now, there are certain people that are snakes. You got to watch out for them. Amen. I'm not telling you to set yourself up to get, you got beat up 7 times. Don't go back and get beat up again. Amen. You forgive them and let them go their merry way. Amen. Somebody's telling you to be somebody's punching bag or go through a bunch of trip. Don't set yourself up. Forgiveness doesn't mean being stupid. Amen. There are a lot of people I've forgiven, but I don't want to have anything to do with it. Not because I got issues in my heart. Amen. But because I got to go on with God. Do you understand the difference? Here's a story. One more story. Thomas Edison was working on a crazy contraption called a light bulb. And it took a whole team of men 24 straight hours to just put one together. The story goes that when Edison had finished with the first light bulb, he gave it to a young boy helper who nervously carried it up the stairs step by step and cautiously washed his hands, obviously frightened of dropping such a piece of priceless work. You can guess what happened, right? What happened, people? And boy, did exactly what you said. The poor young fellow dropped the ball at the top of the stairs. It took the entire team of men 24 more hours to make another light bulb. Finally tired and ready for a break, Edison was ready to have this light bulb carried right back upstairs. Guess what he did? He gave it to the same little boy. And the little boy carried the light bulb upstairs, and this time he didn't drop it. How many got some light bulbs? How do you know whether you're willing to forgive somebody? Are you willing to give them the light bulb again and take it back upstairs again? Or is that light bulb, you're not giving the light bulb because you still remember what that little boy did? Tell you what, next time I find people in this church got some issues with light bulbs, they got some issues with unforgiveness, I'm going to buy you a light bulb. Anybody willing to trust somebody again? To love somebody again? Or do you still remember the issue? Why don't you stand it right where you are? Say, I will be a vessel of healing because I have power that comes through forgiveness. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. You may have somebody you need to forgive. You may have to go to somebody and say, hey, look, I want my light bulb back. Somebody say, amen. Say, Father, Thank you for this word today. Teach me how to put it into practice. Bring a change about that will bring healing to my family, my co-workers, my church members, and community. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you for the power. Amen. Before you go, Jesse, play that one song, Forgiveness, as we're leaving. Y'all just listen to the words of that song. It's the Don Henley song, but it's a great song. Somebody say amen. Somebody say forgiveness. And y'all hug some people and get a cup of coffee as you go. Amen. And y'all pray that I'm able to forgive everybody that didn't come to church this morning. Amen. So say, I'm already ready to forgive. Which number was it? Amen.